Well, this is an important subject. I'm going to show you four things that are killing families, killing their children. Sometimes it kills the wife. Sometimes it kills the husband. Four things. What's killing you is now killing me. Now, there are fathers in families that seriously are doing things that's having an impact on their family, and they may not actually be aware of the statistics and the information of what they're doing and the danger it's causing in the home. There are moms that sometimes are doing the same thing. Now, I have a picture, and several years back or sometime back at one of our conferences, I told a story, but many of you did not see this. So I want to show that picture right now, and I'll tell the history of that picture in a little bit. This is a very sad picture, and I'll tell the story of it, how it was discovered sometime back. This is a family picture. But I want you to watch the entire thing. It's going to be very, very interesting to say the least. First of all, your food is killing me. All right, let me just talk about this for just a moment. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's really true. Food right now is extremely expensive, and most Americans spend a lot of time eating what I call filler food or junk food. It has a lot of salt. It has a lot of sugar. It has the bad fats. And, you know, I've already told my wife I've got to lose about 20 pounds because I've gained some weight that I don't need. And what happens is when you go through a lot of salt, a lot of sugar, a lot of bad fats, it begins to create slowly heart disease, liver disease, diabetes. You have type 1, type 2. It can create all sorts of cancer. It can create strokes. And most of this is being caused by the poor food that we're choosing. Now, 11 million people, think about this, in the United States, die each year because of poor diet. And most of the time, it's over either what they're choosing or it has to do with poor affordability. One of the most dangerous forms of food that I think everybody eats is processed food. And I'm going to say this, there's enough information on social media from professional doctors with, true doctors, not people who are wannabe doctors, but true doctors, and also health experts that can tell you how to properly eat. For example, in my situation, my family has a history of diabetes, and it came upon me about 30 years ago or so. So I have to be very careful what I eat, not only to keep my glucose levels down, but also kidney health. And so I began to do some research on kidney health and found out, for example, you have cabbage, you have blueberries, you have pineapple, and really drinking a lot of pure water, good water, is one of the keys, one of the many keys to kidney health. Also, I started eating an apple a day. So I actually eat an apple a day. I thought an apple would just jack my sugar up. But in reality, the fiber in an apple is good for you. So, after people had COVID, and most people have had COVID several times, it's now sort of like just the regular flu. But there was something called the long-term fatigue effect that probably millions of Americans have, where about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're not really sleepy, but they bottom out. It's like, you're moving like this and you hit this just wall where you just feel like you have to lay down. And I also had I'll say this very quickly, July of 2024, I had the flu and pneumonia hit me at the same time in the summer. And my temperature went to 106, and it did affect some of my memory, damage somewhere in the area of some of my memory. And I've had a little bit of memory loss, which is very strange because there's about 3 to 4 years of my daughter's life, my son's life, vacations we took, things that we did in ministry, that it's just like it's not there unless I am reminded of it by someone. So I want to say to you that with expensive food, there are ways. I know Pam feeds sometimes 7 people, or kids and grandkids, plus her and I at the home. And sometimes she does is she will cook the best vegetable soup, or she will use soups which are very healthy. She makes sure they're very healthy soups, and to cut down on the prices of like a full meal. So there are things that you can do, but I would encourage you to be careful what you eat. Try to eat as healthy as possible. Try to eat a lot of raw vegetables. Try to eat a lot of fruit if possible to keep your health up, because if not, The unhealthy snacks that we eat with overabundance of sugar and salt will affect your body, and it will eventually affect the organs of your body. Now, the second thing that is killing a lot of people, and they don't realize it, is a habit that many people in families have, and that habit is secondhand cigarette smoke. Not only does cigarette smoking affect the individual who's doing the smoking, but listen to this statistics. Secondhand cigarette smoke. Now, what is secondhand smoke? That is the smoke that is, let's say a husband is at home smoking on the couch watching a football game. It's an example. Then the secondhand smoke is the smoke that is in the air in the home itself. Secondhand smoke has 7,000 chemicals. Many are carcinogens that a non-smoker can pick up on. In other words, about 30% of those of that amount of chemicals can be picked up by a non-smoker who lives in the house with the smoker. Now, it is a known fact, the statistics have shown it and studies have shown it, that secondhand cigarette smoke is very dangerous to the blood vessels, heart disease, stroke, arrhythmias in the heart, and not just to the smoker themselves, but also the danger of secondhand smoke. And honestly, a lot of people don't consider this. They think the damage is going to the person that's inhaling and exhaling the cigarette smoke. But the secondhand smoke can be just as dangerous. Respiratory problems arise inside of a home that can cause asthma, bronchitis, especially in children. And get this, studies have also shown that secondhand smoke can cause ear infections in infants and in children. We also know that secondhand smoke can cause cancers, cancer of the lung, cancer of the esophagus, cancer of the throat, cancer of the mouth. And I would just encourage you, you know, something else that happens that recent studies have shown is something called SIDS, which is sudden death syndrome in infants, can actually occur as a result of the smoke, the secondhand smoke that is in a house or smoking in a home during a pregnancy. So, you know, smoking is a habit. It's an unclean habit. And I don't condemn people. This is not to condemn you. This is try to help you to inspire yourself to come off of smoking. Because in the U.S., I just looked this up to see for myself. And in the U.S., one pack of cigarettes can cost $10.25 in a rural area. It can be up to $14 in the city for a pack of 20 cigarettes. So if a heavy smoker smokes a pack a day, and some people do, that's average $300 a month, let's say, $3,600 a year. So not only does smoking take income from you, but it definitely affects the health, the lungs, the heart, the arteries, etc. So secondhand smoke can kill. So when someone is smoking in your home, just remember what eventually could kill them could also kill you. Now, once again, let me say this. This is not to condemn anyone because it's a habit. Sometimes it's a hard habit to break, but I want to encourage you because the Lord can help you get over smoking. He can take the desire for the nicotine, which is what your body is craving, and they have nicotine patches now and different things that might be able to help you. But let me encourage you to come off of that habit simply because of not only your health, but the health of your family and the income. Now, the third one is very important because this goes with the picture that I have on the screen directly behind me. And I'm going to tell you about this picture here in just a moment. And that has to do with alcoholism. Some call it alcoholic abuse, but it's alcoholism and alcoholic abuse in general. America is a nation which is driven by the beer industry, by the wine industry, by the alcoholic beverage industry in general. And a lot of people drink, and many people that drink, if they're not careful, they become full-blown alcoholics. And one in four people have an addictive personality here in the United States, for example. Now, what that means is that one in four people will actually become addicted to whatever drug they're on, to the marijuana, to the cigarettes, or to the alcohol. Now, think about that. So if you have five people in the family, at least one of them is going to be very possibly bound up by addiction. There are 30 million American adults in the United States that are addicted to alcohol. The highest state is the state of Montana, 14.3%. And a lot of that has to do with the first nations, people, reservations. There's a lot of alcohol abuse in the different reservations in the Midwestern part of the United States, which is very sad. The lowest alcohol abuse level is in the state of Utah, 4.8%, and that's probably because of the belief of in Mormonism against some. I guess it's still this way. It used to be this way. The use of caffeine, or the use of alcohol, being against that, and that's why those numbers are lower in the state of Utah. In alcohol related deaths, now this is important. You get this. In alcohol related deaths, there are about 100,000 each year. And that's alcohol related. That can mean the person dies with cirrhosis of the liver, accidents, things of that nature. 100,000 deaths a year, and 54% of Americans consume alcohol. There's danger in accidents, danger in injuries. There's danger in just so many different areas. And what I'd like to do, and I want this camera to go back to that close-up of that picture and let me talk about this picture for a moment, or you can stay there and the people can see it at home on their television from right here at this particular angle. But I want to talk to you about this particular picture. In this photograph, the man that is standing beside the coffin of this child along with his wife is Pete Bava and Lecty Bava. Pete Bava and Lecty Bava were my great grandparents, my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother on my mother's side of the family, which is the Italian side of the family. Pete, who was on the picture on the right, came from the area of Calabria, Italy. It's not far from Sicily, and came to the United States and got his citizenship working as a coal miner in West Virginia. Now, we found out through some family information that Pete was likely at one time, in the early time when he came over here, a member of what was called the Black Hands. Now, those of you who are Italian from New Jersey and New York, all my Italian family up there, you will know who the Black Hands were. They were the early mafia that emerged from Italy, and many people who were Italian that came to the major cities, and I say many, I won't go to the numbers because the actual numbers are not truly known, were a member of this group. Now, they were called Black Hands not because of their color. They were called Black Hands because they would sign a paper with ink with a black handprint on it, or they would take coal dust and put it on a person's door or window as a sign that the Black Hands were paying them a visit. Now, during the time of when there was distributing illegal liquor, which was taking place in New Jersey, New York, West Virginia, Kentucky, where there were moonshine stills, there was illegal liquor, and then there was something called prohibition. When prohibition hit, that's when the people in the mountains, Kentucky, West Virginia, Southwest Virginia, built the moonshine stills, and they began to distribute the liquor throughout those mountains. Now, I was told by my grandfather, John Bava, many years. He did not talk about this much, but so my family, if they're watching this, will know where this came from. He said that years ago that his dad had a wagon, and they would put liquor that was made in the wagon under the hay, and they would drive around and distribute. And they had a place in Pierce, West Virginia. When I was with my cousin several years ago, we went through some pictures at my aunt's house, and we found two pictures of what was called the Rock in Pierce, West Virginia. And this was the drinking site for the family, the Bava family and Pete's friends that were very, very heavily drinkers. Now, I want to do a close-up of this picture again. So somebody get me a close-up of this picture with this camera here on this side, if you will, please, as I begin to tell you about the boy that is lying in the coffin. Now, this is where the story gets very, very, very sad, because in Rose Cemetery in outside of Parsons, West Virginia, are two gravestones. One is marked Tony and one is marked Daniel. These go back to like 1915. And this is the story that I was told by the family, that Pete, that you see in the picture, and Lecty in the picture, this is their son. And one of the sons was named Tony and one was named Daniel. One, they were, was 1 year old, and they were drinking at the Rock, having a party at the Rock, and it was kind of cold, and they covered the one-year-old in a blanket, and he got pneumonia, and he passed away. This is the older son of Pete and Lecty Bava. We were in West Virginia, Lou Anabeva Carr and Cousin Billy, and I'd heard about this picture in the family. And I never saw this picture before. Aunt Millie had died 6 or 7 years ago. We were cleaning out her house. Aunt Millie was Pete Bava's daughter in the picture. Now, we came. I went to the counter of where Aunt Millie's dresser was, the dresser, and there was an envelope, and this picture was in it. And I'm telling you, it would bring you to tears because I knew who this was. This was the boy that was 5 years old that someone gave him hardcore liquor to drink, and he has liquor poisoning. Now, I do have his death certificate somewhere, but it says he died of seizures and fits, his actual death certificate. But in reality, he died of alcohol poisoning. And I think the reason the doctor put that there was that there would be no charges brought against the family. Now, here's my point that I'm making. Alcohol was an early part of you. If you came from Italy and they were Catholic, and most people that aren't in Italy come from Italy years ago were Catholic, but it was all right to drink alcohol or wine in their particular belief. Well, many times people become alcoholics when they drink. And I had two men that would have been related to me. I would have probably known them as older men growing up when I would visit West Virginia, that were never able to have a life. They were never able to freely live because of alcohol. Now, I want to say this to you. My own son, although my wife and I have never drank any kind of alcoholic beverages. We are what you call teetotalers. Sometimes we look like we're dinosaurs because you see half the body of Christ out there doing this, but we don't do it. Because I think nothing good comes out of drinking alcohol. That's my personal opinion. But I will tell you that my son became addicted. And if you have a child that's addicted and they're out driving and someone is providing alcohol for them and they're underage and you find out about it, it is a horrible feeling. And you worry about their health and you worry about their spiritual life because the Bible says, and it's in the Bible, don't argue with me, I'm the messenger, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so you read these verses and you see this happening and you get very, very concerned. Now, a lot of people drink because of peer pressure. They drink when they're younger because they're going to college and everybody's going out to the parties. But I have known families in my own town that started would permit drinking and have big parties at Christmas. And when their children turned 18, they started drinking alcohol, but they were killed in accidents when they were just 18 and 19 years of age. You don't want that on your conscience. So I'm thankful for this movement that is presently going on with young people, that they are turning away from drinking alcohol. You have young people in universities, they have a no alcohol tolerance, no alcohol whatsoever. And one of the reasons may be because economically, you know, it's expensive, and they realize that it's just a waste of money. So I'm grateful for that. But I want to tell you that when you see your family drinking, your kids and grandkids will come up thinking it's okay. Now, you can tell them you're not going to do this now. Wait till you get older. But the next generation is always more tolerant and more liberal than the previous generation. So what you do, what you think you're doing in moderation, trust me, your children and grandchildren will do in excess. And the last thing you want is your grandchild or child hitting someone, being drunk, going to prison for many, many years for manslaughter. And so I am encouraging you that if you are someone who, you know, has a liberal thought on alcohol, and I know this is old school, and I know I'm a dinosaur telling you this, I want to encourage you to try to break it and come off of it. If you have a child that's in the bondage of it, you hate the stuff. And if you have two relatives that would have been your uncles that died at 1 year of age and 5 years of age because the family was into alcohol, moonshine drinking, there's something that comes in you that rises up. And I just hate to see people do this. And I know some people will say, well, I'm not going to follow you anymore. I'm not going to listen to you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm responsible to preach to you something that's going to help you. And if that offends you, I can't help it, because what you're doing in your home is slowly killing you, and it's going to slowly have an impact on a child or someone else. And everybody that was raised with an alcoholic dad writes me letters and says, Perry, thank you for saying it on TV and standing up for it, because most preachers won't stand up for it because they're afraid of losing members, okay? So let me just say that to you. Now, the final thing, and I don't have a lot of time to deal with this, is stress from life can absolutely affect your mind and your body and your spirit. You know, people are so worried about how we're going to make it. During the Great Depression, I call him Great Granddad Rex Road, was a minister. And there were times he preached in the Depression, and all that he got in the offering was some cow's milk, and the cow had gotten into onions. So if you're from a farm, you know what that meant. And my other granddad, David, preached a week's revival in West Virginia and got a nickel in the offering during the Great Depression. However, during the Great Depression, when there was 25% of the jobs eliminated, when 2,000 banks had collapsed, when there was a dust bowl going on, and it was one of the worst times in American history, God's people would pray and God would provide for them. When you are having a situation, you've got to understand God can provide. They arrested a Christian man in China and were going to starve him. There was holes in the jail, little tiny holes where rats would come in. A rat started coming in, rolling an apple one day. Next day, a part of a banana. Well, the guards were eating and this rat was stealing from them. And they kept the man in there for 2 months, and they went in there just to take his dead body, his rotting body out, and the man was healthy because a rat had provided for him. Let me tell you something, true story, and I abbreviated a little bit. If the ravens can feed Elijah at a brook during a time of famine, God can send a rat to bring somebody food. I'm just trying to say to you, don't worry, God provides. God is your provider and will continue to be so. I hate it, my time is up, but hope this has helped you and blessed you. Let me know if it has. Watch this because we have a very special offer. I have something very special for you that the Lord has put in my heart. It's a book, it's two audio CDs, and a bonus single CD, and it is a special family package. First is our book, The Meal That Heals, Enjoying Intimate Daily Communion with God. I'm going to show you proof that God heals today. I'm going to show you how the early church celebrated daily communion from house to house and how we can restore the practice. I'm going to show you the greatest hindrance to receiving your healing and how to remove it. I'm going to teach you the in-depth Hebrew and Greek that deals with how God can change your spirit, heal your body, and extend your days in this powerful book, The Meal That Heals. I also have a two CD album. Now, this is 2 hours of teaching on two CDs, Keys to Praying for Prodigal Children. Everybody I'm talking to right now has a child, a grandchild. Sometimes it's a husband and wife that will not attend the house of God. I have discovered spiritual and biblical keys of how to pray and what to pray for when you're believing and interceding for the salvation of a prodigal child or an unsaved, backslid family member. We prayed for my son, and after 20 years of praying for addiction to be broken, God broke it, and now he's working for the ministry, and we're so glad and happy for what God has done. I have to teach you the keys that God taught me of how to pray for your prodigal children. Now, I've also included another bonus CD, Children in the Devil's Playhouse. You know, there's Christians that allow their children to have occult games or watch occult cartoons or occult movies that open up a door to spirits in their home. I met a man one time whose son was having seizures, but I found out that he had allowed him to watch a movie about a girl being totally demon-possessed. It opened up a fear, and it literally opened up a spirit of epilepsy. The boy was prayed for and God completely delivered him. I need to teach you how the enemy is getting into your home and into your children's life through things happening inside your house. Now, this offer is offer CH-152, and I'm asking you to help us stay on manifest with a $25 gift or more, and ask for this offer, CH-152. You can go online at perrystone.org. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD, or you can send a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer 152. We need your help to stay on the air. So God bless you. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining me on the telecast. It's the first of the year. We're happy New Year to everyone. And this is an offer that only is this week and next week, and then it's finished. And this is the special family offer, The Meal That Heals, How to Pray for Your Prodigal Children, and Children in the Devil's Playhouse. And actually, $25 or more, the offer's been on the screen. That is a discount, quite a bit of a discount, if you bought it individually. So you can save at this special time. We'll call it the New Year's Blue Light Special. But most of all, the revelation and information, insight that is there really, really is life-changing, and I'm not just saying that. Now, a couple things that I want to share with you very, very quickly. Again, registration should now be open for Warrior Fest and should be open for the Prophetic Summit. I'm going to ask you not to register just to register, but only register if you know you're coming and you're planning on coming. And if you're coming with the youth group, let your youth pastor register. We have many youth groups that come from different parts of the United States, and it is going to be a fabulous Warrior Fest at the end of March. Thousands have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit during these times. No cost to attend, no entrance fee, but you have to register at perrystone.org. The same is true with our International Prophetic Summit. We bring in somewhere around seven or eight speakers. We pay their flights, we pay their expenses, we pay their hotel rooms, we pay the honorariums, and we don't charge anybody to come in and to attend this prophetic summit. We do it totally by faith. Many times VOE has spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars because the offerings were not sufficient. We do receive an offering in the night services, but we do it anyway because we believe it's the right thing to do. So don't miss the prophetic summit. And then our Israel trip, and then we got so many things coming up. But listen carefully. Mark February 15th. It's now time to register for the event with Bill and I on Sunday, February 15th from 3 till 6 live from the studio. And there'll be information on that on Facebook and on also there's going to be information sent out through our mailing list at our website and to our partners. And don't forget also as well that there are so many other things that are taking place. Go to perrystone.org, go to Perrystone Ministries Facebook page. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're pretty close to 1 million people subscribing. I need you to do it now. To go to Perrystone YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel. No cost to do that at all. But I do want to thank you that have supported us over the years. We continue to need your support to reach the nations of the world with the gospel. More people being saved now in the ministry than ever before, and you have helped make it possible. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.